25th Sunday, Year B, Ordinary Time. The first reading from the Book of Wisdom. Let us be sad, the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He said to himself again our doing, reproached us for our transgression of the law, and charged us with violations of our training. Let us see whether his words to be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, he will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. With revilement and torture, let us put him to the test, that we may have a proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to his own words, God will take care of him. Second reading from the letter of James, chapter 3, verses 3:16 to 4, chapter 4, verse 3. From where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul sex practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconstancy and insincerity. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. Where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? It is not from your passions that make war within your members. You covet, but do not possess. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask but do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 to 37. They left from there and began a journey to Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, he will rise. But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, what were you arguing about on the way? But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who were the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. Taking a child, he placed it in the midst, and putting his arms around it, and said to them, whoever receives one child such as this in my name, receive me, and whoever receives me, receive not me, but the one who sent me. Sharing of the reading. First, the theme. We must live according to the divine wisdom. There are many people who want to know without studying, to be prayed without doing anything, to be loved and compassionate, but never loving and understanding others, to be great without accomplishing anything. These people, when they do not get what they want, find all possible ways to destroy others to satisfy their anger. Instead of using their minds to search and to build up, they use force and power to destroy and to kill. Today's readings teach the people that they must change their life and to live according to God's wisdom. In the first reading, instead of changing their life in accordance with God's way, the wicked wanted to test God by persecuting the righteous. In the second reading, Saint James taught his faithful that if they want to have a true peace, they must deny the way of life according to worldly ambition and to live according to God's wisdom. In the Gospel, while Jesus was preparing to sacrifice and to die for people through his passion, his disciples competed and contended to see who amongst them is the greatest in heaven. Jesus called a child, put him into their midst and told them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Second analysis, first reading. To test God by persecuting the righteous. First point. The wicked persecuted the righteous. There are some fools who only believe in their wisdom and strength and refuse to learn from other wisdom or to welcome other constructive criticism. First, to see if the truth exists. Instead of spending their time and effort to learn the truth, the wicked stubbornly use their violence to destroy the truth by persecuting the righteous. They said, "Let it be said the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He set himself against our doing, reproached us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violation of our chaining." Second, to test the righteous endurance. Instead of finding reason why the writer can be meek and patient, they choose to use violence to suppress them. With revilement and torture, let us put him to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Second point. The wicked tested even God. Since they do not believe in God, the wicked one too, the righteous must also be like them. First, they want to find out what is the meaning of life. Instead of studying to God's revelation in the scripture and reflecting of their life experience to find out the meaning of life, they choose to kill the writer to prove that there is no next life. They said, "Let us see whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him." To them, death is the end of everything. They want to find out if God exists. They think if the third one be the Son of God, he will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. Let us condemn him to a sinful death, for according to his own words, God will take care of him. If God does not interfere, they shall conclude there is no God. Standing before Christ's cross, many high priests, scribes, and Pharisees make fun of Jesus. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he want him. For he said, I am the Son of God. See Matthew chapter 27, verse 43. Second reading. Let's get rid of the lifestyle according to worldly ambition. Third point. God's wisdom versus worldly wisdom. The word for wisdom is Sophia. It's a confused word in Greek. It can be used for both divine and human wisdom, good and bad. First, God's wisdom. St. James used a long sentence to define the divine wisdom. The wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconstancy or insincerity. First, God's wisdom demands people to be pure, have no wicked intention to harm others. Next, the one who possesses it must pay attention to build up peace, not to deal wicked plans to cause division and contention. He must not stubbornly keep his own opinion, but must open his mind to welcome other better and more useful opinion. He must not easily condemn other, but always have compassion and find ways to build up for all people. Lastly, he must act justly with all people and always sincerely live with God and others. In a word, divine wisdom includes both faith and practice what God teaches. Second, worldly wisdom. The kind of wisdom shall find all possible ways to have power, position, fame, and material gain. Sin, those who follow this wisdom, always want to excel above all people. They shall not be hesitated to use all tricks to gain what they desire. St. James summarizes all results of this way as follows. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. Second point, how to recognize what is the true wisdom? St. James invited the faithful to look at the corresponding result. First, the result of the true wisdom is peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. The righteousness is the one who lives rightly his relationship with God and others. So he had peace in their minds and lived peacefully with all people. Second, the result of the worldly wisdom is war. St. James pointed out, where do the war and where do the conflicts among you come from? It is not from the persons that make war within your members. You covet, but you do not possess. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask but do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. The Gospel. If anyone wishes to be the first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. Third point. Jesus foretold his passion. This is the second time that Jesus foretold his coming passion. The Son of Man is to be handed over to men and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, he will rise. They did not understand Jesus' saying, but they were afraid to question him. There are two reasons behind their quiet attitude. First, they did not have the courage to face the truth. The first time when Jesus foretold it, Peter took him aside and said, "May God not let that happen to you." If they accept the truth, they must change their way. But they were not ready to accept the ways of suffering. Second, they were afraid to confront the sufferings. At other Jews, they are expecting a powerful Messiah who shall come in power to destroy their enemies and to recover the supreme power for the Jews. Second point. Competition for position and power. They came to Capernaum, and when they were inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent, because they had been discussing among themselves on the way who were the greatest. There are some reasons for their silence. First, they knew that Jesus fathomed their evil desire. Jesus' passion is coming. As his disciples, they were not concerned to console him, but they only pay attention to position and power. Not only that, but they also desire the greatest position. This shall be more concrete in Jesus' third foretelling of his passion, in which James and John ask Jesus to let them sit one on the right and other on the left in his kingdom. And the other 10 apostles were indignant with the two brothers due to this petition. See Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 41. Second, they wanted to be the greatest, but did not want to serve or to suffer. People tend to be greatest without doing anything, to have a high position and power without fighting. If they want to share his glory, they must also share his suffering. But they only want to have glory and left Jesus alone on the cross. We don't want to blame the disciples, but we realize the contradictory also inside each of us. We must change this tendency which rose so deep in our mind. The disciples, after recognizing their sin and Jesus' immense love, completely changed their life and were ready to suffer even unto death to witness for Christ. The third point, to serve is the way to become greatest. The duty to serve. People like to have power and to be served by others. Jesus inverted this tendency when he taught his disciples, if anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. If people reflect Jesus' words and their experience, they shall see the truth of his word. No one like those who only give order and demand to be served, but love those who sacrifice and serve others. Moreover, the faithful received a duty to serve others when they were baptized, together with prophetic and priestly duties. To serve the marginalized. Then Jesus took a child and placed it in their midst. He put his arm around him and said to them, whoever receives one child such as this in my name, receive me. And whoever receives me, receive not me, but the one who sent me. Jesus knew that people tend to care for the rich and the powerful, because they hope that they shall receive some help in need. Therefore, Jesus taught his disciples not to do that, but serve those who have nothing to give back as children. They have nothing to give back, but need everything from the adult. The master must help the children, because they receive the help from God, parents, and previous generations. Moreover, Jesus also taught that when someone welcomes children, they welcome God himself, and he shall return favor to them. Application in life. We must try to learn and to change our life in according with God's way, not foolishly find a way to test him by persecuting or killing those who are living his way. We must humbly confess that the way of life according to worldly wisdom only leads to jealousy, contention, and war. Only the way according to God's wisdom brings peace, order, and building up for the mankind. We have a duty not only to serve all people, but especially those who are vulnerable, marginalized, and those who have nothing to give back. Amen.